you're listening to A Progressive Life here on WWGH, and I'm Glenn Coble. Just said adios to my co-announcer, I guess you'd call him, Scott Spears, as he's heading out, and I'm taking over for the next 45 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. We had a great show. excuse me. Everything from soup to nuts in that show, and it ended on a good note where we were talking about we got off onto the political side, which we rarely do on that show, and I must admit I have to take the blame. It was my fault. I am not one to hold back sometimes when I have challenges on my political views, and nobody will ever guess that this show, A Progressive Life, is going to be a bastion for those who listen to Fox News. Just not going to happen. But I am glad that we have people like our caller. We actually had two good callers, pointing out what they believe to be true. And the good thing about it is that we all get to go home. You're probably home already, but I get to go home and I get to look up all this stuff that was said and find out. I did do some research on it, and I think some of the research that I did do on that situation might cast a little bit different light than what our callers had to say, but that's fine. I'm going to find out even more. I'm going to learn about it, and that's what we should do. We shouldn't call people liars unless they are. And we do have a lot of liars, it does seem like, anymore, in government and in public. People, and some people are not lying. Some people just are spouting off the stuff that they've heard, and they believe it, so therefore it must be true. They heard it on their best friend sent them a meme on Facebook that said McCarthy really loved communists, and he believed it because his best friend sent it to him. You've got to use your own mind. Yeah, quit using the talking points on right or left. It doesn't make any difference. That's why I tried to keep my mouth shut, because I was afraid what I might say were just talking points that I had heard. And talking points quite often are totally skewed in your direction. Why would they be called talking points? That's one of the things I've really found that disgusted me when I was running for office is, well, first of all, just the term talking points, and the fact that I was given talking points from the Democratic caucus. I don't want talking points. I wanted the facts. Send me the facts about what's going on. Don't send me talking points, please. But it's faster and easier, and it seems to sway an awful lot of people if you can put it in a nice little 30-second speech, and to hell with the with the facts. This looks right, so it must be right, and I think we have to be real careful of that. Anyway, I was going to do a thing on progressive quotes, and I'm really finding a hard time finding them. I had it all put on in my phone and everything. My little puppy dog helped me out, put this into my phone, and for some reason or other, it went bye-bye. So while I'm talking here, I'm trying to look it back up again. I'm going to have to keep talking here. I don't know. I don't know what I can do. It's not popping up, and so I'm going to have to complain to my puppy dog that she forgot to mark this in my phone. Oh well. Yes, it's not coming up at all. I'm going to give up. Okay. One of the quotes was from Lincoln that I really, really wanted to find. It was a very good quote about being progressive. Let's face it. Progress is not a bad thing. It's just moving forward, right? One of the quotes was a smart person who finds out they're on the wrong path will make a U-turn and go back on the path, which is not progressive. It's regressive. But then you get back to the Y in the road, and then you can take the one that was progressive. So, but I can't find it, so I'm going to pass on that, all right? Well, what happened in the news today? There were in this news this past week, there's been a ton of stuff. One of the really sad things that happened is that Carl Reiner, the actor, director, writer, producer, all those things, he died at age 98. I used to really enjoy most of the shows that he had something to do with. I really liked, he was on, that's the problem with getting older, you tend to forget a lot of things. Anyway, he was on several shows as cameos. He'd do a cameo, and he was just as funny in the cameo as he was doing his shtick, and I really enjoyed why can't I remember the name of the show? But he passed away at age 98, and I thank him for all the good wisdom he passed along. I thank him for, he was kind of a progressive as well, much like his son Rob, who is a terribly strong progressive. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there right now that say, oh, he's a jerk. That's the problem that we have right now. We call people names because we disagree with them. What we should do is disagree and disagree with your brain working. If you're disagreeing just because he's saying something that you disagree with and you think he's a bad person because he disagrees with you, I think you're missing the boat. There are people that, like the gentleman this morning that called in. He disagreed with me a lot, and that's great because now that inspires me to go look up where maybe he was right and I was wrong. And I will allow him the facts that he may be right and I may be wrong. I will not allow him to make up his own stories, the lies. I will not allow that. But I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying that's not something that's permissible. But teaching me something is permissible. And I love hearing from people that are willing to teach and also willing to listen. Listening is probably a much more valuable skill than talking and even teaching. But you have to remember one of the things when you're teaching, we need to teach the truth. One of the things, I was watching a show this morning where they were talking about how we've taught things in a way. Let's stop and think. How many of you out there right now can honestly say you knew what Juneteenth was before this year? I think of myself as a fairly, as one of my son's friends says, a fairly woke guy. And I had never heard of Juneteenth. I don't happen to be black. Maybe if I were black, I would know what Juneteenth was. But I'm not, so I didn't. But now I do. And I have learned that people dropped canisters of lit kerosene from airplanes on the tops of businesses owned by black people. I never had ever heard of us doing our own bombing on ourselves. There were a lot of things I learned about Juneteenth over the last couple of weeks. That was one of the things in the news. We talked about that. And over 300 people were killed during that. Now, I'm sure that there are people that say, well, they were justified in their getting killed. I don't find that true. Children, women were killed. And I'm sure there was one or two of the people that were taking advantage of the fires that were going on, and they were running in and stealing stuff. That doesn't make it right. So anyway, that's the old looting thing. All rioters, all protesters are looters. I went to two protests in the last month. I didn't loot a single thing, nor did I see a single person looting a single thing. We are not all looters. We want to make change. And most of us, especially the people that call themselves progressives, want to make change for the goodness of the common man or the common woman. We're not in it to make sure that the rich people get richer. We're not in it to destroy the mores of our government. We're in it to make adjustments to our government that will help the average person. Now, I understand there are people that don't like the average person. The average person may need help once in a while, pay for his food. And I know I have a lot of friends, usually old white friends, that don't understand why somebody should get a free bag of food. Well, why don't I get a free bag of food? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you didn't need it, and they did. And that's what it's all about, the needs of the people. Stop and look at the Good Samaritan, please. I've brought it up several times. If you claim to be a Christian, read your New Testament. Listen to the rules as set forth by your Jesus Christ. As you know, I am an agnostic. I believe that there was a Jesus Christ. I believe he was a very wise person. But I also believe he was a caring person and not the type of person that would hold it against somebody because they got a free lunch when they needed it, right? You remember the widow's mite? She had no money, but she gave her last pennies so that other people that didn't have any money could have something to eat, all right? We all know... I'm lucky. I was raised a minister's kid, and we all know what's right and wrong, especially if you're a minister's kid. You cannot get through life without knowing what the general norms are of what right and wrong are. The Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, they're all directions. They're pointing in the direction of what's right and wrong. But I'm not one to judge you. You have to judge yourself, I guess. If you're an agnostic like myself, you don't really believe that when you die, your retribution will come to you. I never did believe that, even when I was what you would call a Christian. I never believed that. I just didn't understand why... any God would take retribution as a good thing. So anyway, let's not get into the discussion on religion, because I have a lot of really against the grain opinions about some of the things that I've watched. It didn't take me long once I got the courage to say I'm an agnostic or an atheist even. It didn't take me long to start saying, hey, this is the way I've felt most of my life. So you may judge me. You may think I'm a bad person because of that, but I will guarantee I live a lot more Christian life than many of my so-called Christian friends. My life is based on the New Testament, the gospel in the New Testament. Even though I know that it was written 100 years or longer after Jesus Christ died, but some of the sayings, some of the parables, I try to follow the goodness of the man. So anyway, off of my church pulpit, out of my church pulpit, and back on to what happened this week. All right. Fauci warns that our coronavirus cases could reach as high as 100,000 a day. Okay, and stop judging that. It may not be. He said it might not be. It could be 50,000. It has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or Republican or what you believe there. What you should believe is our coronavirus cases are going up. Nobody's making that stuff up. If anything, they're cutting back on the deaths and so forth. My son-in-law's mother passed away, and they did not declare it a coronavirus death, but she died of every symptom that coronavirus presents. And the reason why she wasn't considered a coronavirus person is because she wasn't in the hospital when she died, and they didn't do an autopsy to find out the answer to that. But we know that's what she died from, just based on all the symptoms that she had and what she had been around 2 weeks prior to that. So, okay, yeah, there are probably people out there saying right now, oh, you don't know that for a fact. I don't know it for a fact. But when you see the symptoms that killed her, you might believe it the same way I do. DeWine is kind of facing, again in the news, DeWine is kind of facing a GOP mutiny, apparently, especially in the rural areas of Ohio, over what they're doing about the coronavirus. Republicans in Warren County North, that's north of Cincinnati, they gave Mike DeWine a big rebuke about how he's handling the coronavirus. I'm not a big fan of giving anybody rebukes on how they're handling things, but I understand why some people would say, well, if you're not doing anything, you deserve a rebuke. And, you know, such is the case with, you know, how slowly we have responded to our coronavirus nationally, federally. I'm not going to get into that because I really don't know what we did and didn't do. I know what I've heard. I know what I've read, but I don't know the actual facts. I wasn't there, but I do know we started slowly. And I do know that we have 1/4, I think it is, of all coronaviruses are in the United States. Most of the countries that had a big outbreak now have minimized it to a very slow trickle, and ours continue to go up because we're doing nothing about it. Seems pretty obvious to me. By the way, in the news, Ohio State's outgoing president, Michael Drake, says that football fans should wear masks and socially distance. I'd like to see this. This is going to be tough. The socially distanced thing is the hardest thing. I don't know how they're going to do that. If I had season tickets to the games, I'd want to sit in my seat, and my seat is 18 inches wide. You're not going to be terribly distant from the next person over, right? Matter of fact, I have a hard time not sitting. I'm a little on the larger side, and I have a hard time not sitting on my neighbor's lap. So 18 inches is just enough room for me. All right. By the way, there's a maker of a drug, and I thought I had it here, and I apparently have misplaced the name of the maker. But there's a maker of the drug that will shorten recovery time for the very ill COVID-19 patients. This is the type of people we're dealing with. They're going to charge $2,340 for this way to keep people alive and keep them and cut down their suffering. People, I don't understand why we have people like that one guy, young man who became a CEO of a medicine that was going to help somebody, raised it like 600 or 700% when he took over the company. What were their parents teaching them when they were children? Screw everybody around you? I hope they get what they deserve. I'm not a big fan of karma. I don't really know that karma works. Karma works when it works in your favor, but so many people, no karma ever comes to do anything. All right. Well, hey, here's something that really kind of shocked me a little bit. I'm basically going over this week's news with you, okay? Just in case you'd missed it. I hate to have anybody miss their news. This is one thing that kind of shocked me. U.S. travelers have been barred from the EU nations. If you want to go to France to see the Eiffel Tower, you're out of luck. I don't know why we don't get our stuff together. I think we're one of 14 countries that have been barred from the EU. And we're in with a bunch of countries that we should never be grouped with, right? So anyway, if you're planning to go to Europe, I would call my travel agent and find out if you're allowed. Well, you're not. I guess they do have some caveats. You can go if it's necessary for your work, I think, or if it's necessary for the government or something like that. There are certain caveats that will allow you to go. Now, you know as well as I know that there will be rich people that will find ways to use those caveats so that they can go to Europe and be down in Nice on the French Riviera. I've been there. That was kind of fun. Yeah, I loved. We toured Europe. I toured Europe with the folk trio. We were there for about a month, and I loved Europe. I would love to go back. As a matter of fact, I lied to my wife and told her after we're married 25 years, I will take you to Europe. We've now been married 50 years, and I haven't taken her once, let alone twice. All right. Well, we had an interesting week in the Supreme Court. Top guy there, Roberts, kind of has dismayed the conservatives and Mr. Trump and the administration, the current executive administration, by finding that federal anti-discrimination laws against gay, bisexual, transgender, that's a hard word to say sometimes, workers, and stopping the... he's ruled against any discrimination against those people, gay, bisexual, transgender. He also stopped the federal program from, he's protected the undocumented immigrants, the DACA kids, the kids that were undocumented when they came with their parents. And there are several hundreds of thousands of those. I think 300,000 might be the right number. He also joined other of the justices to strike down the restrictive Louisiana abortion law. And so, therefore, there have been three, I guess, victories. And I hate to say it that way, because that's exactly what's causing people of one side to not like people of the other side. But it kind of is in favor of the liberal side, which one would not expect, considering the makeup of the court right now. But Justice Roberts has cast in two out of those three cases the deciding vote. I think one of the cases went 6-3. So anyway, that's what's going on. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio. I'm Glenn Coble. You can blame me for everything said on this show, A Progressive Life. Anyway, I'm going to really do a lot of woodshedding when I go home tonight. And that's the good thing about having an open time where you can call in. You can call in right now at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You can call in right now and give your opinion. We were talking in the previous hour about the two lawyers who were standing in front of their very fancy house. It was a beautiful home. I wouldn't want to own one like that, but waving their guns and pointing them at protesters who apparently were marching on the street in front of their house, which was according to our caller, was a private street, and they had no right to be there. All those things I'm going to be looking up to make sure. And I did look up the law in the state of Missouri, and it is assault if you point a gun at another person in anger. So don't do that. Mississippi governor signs a law removing the Confederate design from the state flag. You know, in the corner, I believe it was the corner, it might have been half of it, of the Mississippi flag had the stars and bars. And the governor signed a law that removed that. Now, I think I saw on television that like a month or 2 months ago, the majority of people in Mississippi didn't agree with that, and then it changed almost overnight. The retired flag dates back to 1894. Now, 1894, if you know American history, is about the time of Jim Crow laws. A lot of those statues that were put up, and some people would say they were put up to warn the African American not to get out of line, right? Some people also would say that Confederate battle flag was hoisted to threaten or intimidate African Americans or people that believed in the abolition of slavery. I'm going to leave that up to you. You decide. It is odd that it would happen almost 50 years after the Civil War that these statues went up. But I should leave it at that, because obviously my tone of voice tells you where I stand on that. They've proposed a new flag, and I think they proposed a new flag several months ago, if not a year or two ago, that will, instead of having the stars and bars on that side, will have a field of blue or red or something like that. They're going to put it up for a vote, and they're going to change the flag. Right now, there is no state flag flying over the state house in the state of Mississippi. Mississippi. I used to love to spell that. I don't know. All right. By the way, this is kind of interesting. What do you think about all the sports. Baseball, Major League Baseball is going to do, I think they said, a 60-game thing. And there are all sorts of rules and regulations on whether or not they can play or can't play, or if they have to quit playing because two people come up with COVID-19. But Jacksonville, they've mandated face masks. Now, you understand that's where the GOP is now, where Trump's moved the convention to. And he moved it there to avoid that sort of thing. But Jacksonville is mandating face masks as they get ready to prepare. They're preparing for the GOP convention. All right. Okay, well, the other huge thing that happened this week, and this is going to take me out here. We've got about 15 minutes, and is the idea of the I'm not quite sure how to put this. There have been news information that Russia was paying for a bounty for the death of American soldiers or American other soldiers that are fighting with Americans. I don't know, and I've got a timeline here, but it just gets confusing trying to read the timeline and what was done when and who said what to whom. And it does seem odd that finally, after it got billed to a head with Trump saying he had never heard that was going on. He just didn't hear about it. Well, and then there are people that will tell you from both sides of the aisle that they are given, the president is given information like this on a daily basis, and that there is no way that he was not given it. Now, everybody seems to know that he does not read, and I won't hold that against him. I don't read very much either. When you're dyslexic, it gets very tiring to read. I listen more than I read. Matter of fact, I think of the several books that I've read, I can't honestly say I've read all but maybe six or seven of them. Most of them I've gotten out of the library on the voice books and listened to them. The only time I ever did much reading at all is when I was back in school. I had to then. And usually I was the type of person, I would read for 15 minutes, fall asleep, wake up, skip a couple chapters, read another 15 minutes, fall asleep, wake up, skip a couple of chapters and read again. That's how I got through college. It was not easy. And a lot of what I learned was if I went to class and I went, well, I either went to class or I didn't go to class. If I went to class and listened to the professor, I was really good at maintaining that knowledge that I was given by the professor. I don't know why, but I was really bad at reading and comprehending. I think probably the reason why I was good at listening, when I was in at all the churches where my dad was a minister, my mom and my brother and sister, while they were still at home, we'd all sit in the same place every week, and so Dad knew where we were, and if we started doing anything other than listening, there would be a look that would scare you to death. I got, so I was a good listener. Anyway, that's I understand why the president doesn't like to read. But apparently, his first excuse is why he didn't know about this money from Russia as a bounty on U.S. Military. He said the reason why he didn't do anything about it is because he didn't know about it. Well, it's really hard to, if you listen to all the generals and all the people that talk about how this works, even if he didn't read, there are people that verbally give a daily briefing on this stuff. And even if you fell asleep during all that, there would have been so many people around you that would know that this was going on. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't feel it was important. I can't imagine an American president, or for that matter, any American, not thinking that it's important to know that there's a bounty on our soldiers' heads. Now, I was a soldier for 3 years. I wasn't in combat. But I'm certain back when I was, Vietnam was going on when I was in the service, and I'm certain back then if somebody had said that Nixon or Johnson were allowing somebody to pay for a bounty on American heads, that would have been at the end of their presidency. Now, we ended up ending Nixon's presidency, but Johnson actually decided he wasn't going to run a second term because he had just had enough of all that was going on. And so anyway, maybe that's not a bad thing to do. Get out when the getting's good. But anyway, I'm trying to remember where I was going with all this. Idea that people didn't tell the president or didn't know or were too afraid to explain to the president of the United States that somebody was paying a bounty for the lives of American soldiers. I just can't believe that. Can you? Maybe I'm wrong. But then what they did about it, the thing that bothers me the most was that once it finally came to a head that everybody kind of agreed, definitely the House of Representatives, but even the Senate kind of agreed that somebody ought to tell us what was going on. So the Senate was given they were told what was going on. Now, I'm not sure whether they were told by people that knew what was going on or not, but the Senate, the only people that were asked to come to this briefing were the Republicans. That's not a very good way of doing things in this time of partisanship. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that's the way to do things. Let me know if you disagree with me. But it just seemed odd. And apparently it seemed awfully odd to those in the Senate wherein the following day or 2 days later, they agreed to have a briefing for the Democrats. However, the Democrats were briefed by people that didn't have the answer. They were just Trump people. They were just people from the executive department. They were not people from intelligence. They were just general people, like me going in and telling them, reading off a script of what had happened. So anyway, that's really the thing this week that has bothered me more than just about anything, is why in the world would we have a government that doesn't care about our soldiers? If you care nothing about our style of government or our way of governing, certainly you would care about somebody putting a bounty on somebody else's head. It just doesn't seem right. It would be different if those soldiers were crazy and going off on their own and killing at will. Like when I was in the Army, I happened to be stationed at Fort Meade, and they had the big trial in Fort Meade of Lieutenant the My Lai massacre thing. I can't remember what his name was, but anyway, they had the big trial of that lieutenant, I believe he was first lieutenant. Was it Kelly, Lieutenant Kelly, something like that? They had a huge trial about that, and that was because he was killing the other guy, and he was doing it. They basically found out he was doing it not out of fun, but doing it out of hate. And that's the way war is won and lost, out of hate. But it certainly seems to be counterproductive to making this world a better place. That My Lai massacre was a real dark spot. There wasn't much good about the Vietnam War, but that was a real dark spot. I thought maybe I'd read to you what Nancy Pelosi, and I know I hear some of you groaning, and I don't understand why people have gotten so. You mention a name and they groan. They don't like a person just because of their name or something. But she asked for immediate briefing from the intelligence director, John Ratcliffe, and the CIA director, Gina Haspel, to all House members. The questions that arise are, was the president briefed? And if not, why not? And why was Congress not briefed? And then the speaker said in her letter to officials, Congress and the country need answers now. Congress needs to know what the intelligence community knows about this significant threat to American troops and our allies. It just seems logical. It just seems open and shut that we should know what's going on there. She also said the administration's disturbing silence and inaction endangers the lives of our troops and our coalition partners. We're struggling right now just to develop our coalition. We're struggling to develop a coalition. Not only are the Europeans not wanting us to come to Europe because we have COVID running rampant in the United States, and it's not running rampant anyplace else, but they're afraid of being betrayed like the Kurds were. A country that had fought for us very, very strongly, had fought for the United States, and they were a feared and respected foe to those bad guys, as I'll say, of the United States. The Kurds were friends, and then we let them, hung them out to dry. We've done that time and time again, where if you had a friend like the United States is a friend to these countries, you'd have a hard time keeping any friends around. We need to find a way to learn to care about each other, learn to listen to each other, even if we think they're wrong, even if we think they've made a mistake. Learn to listen to these people that don't agree with us. Disliking somebody because they disagree with you is kind of stupid. Why would you dislike a person just because you disagree with them? The best thing to do is find out why. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what we need to learn to do. Well, anyway, we only got about a minute left here, and I'm really glad that you tuned in today. I kind of rambled because the puppy dog and I didn't know what we were going to talk about. So I said to Cheyenne, what do you think if I give the news headline and remark from the progressive side of things about it? And that's kind of what I did. Anyway, you're listening to A Progressive Life here on WWGH in Marion, Ohio. Our frequency is 107.1 megahertz, I think it is. And we appreciate you coming and listening to us. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. We're going to have lots of stuff on. We're going to do Swap Shop at about 12:15. And last week we had two or three, maybe four callers call in. So maybe we can get rid of some of your tchotchkes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat